Gary Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Wednesday, everyone.
How's everyone feeling?
Oh, I'm on top of the world.
Supermoon night tonight.
Is it? Yeah. I did not know that.
No. We've got to get Belle on later, producer Belle, to tell us what we meant to do.
To tell
Last
us.
Time we went to put a bottle of water out and put our manifestations
yes.
with it.
It's a great time when we chat to Belle because if you driving along and you listen to us and you're thinking, oh gosh, am I nuts? No. You get to listen to what the real nuts people do and you think, oh, I've got my stuff together.
Hey, if we're going to ever make a movie.
Yeah, we are.
How's this for a fun idea? You know Zendaya, mm-hmm. who was in, I loved her in The Greatest Showman, and tunes like this, Spider-Man. She gave her entire film crew 1% equity in her new film, Malcolm and Marie, so that they would earn a bonus after the film sold. She then sold the movie to Netflix.
Oh, no, you've got your Netflix.
$30 million. And then each of the crew member made $300,000.
Each member of the crew made $300,000.
Just as a little bonus.
Did they?
Yes.
How does that work?
Because they gave 1% equity.
Yeah, but so...
Don't ask me to do math, mate.
So all of the crew got $300,000.
I'm just reading off a piece of paper that says her entire film crew at least 1% equity in her film.
Yes.
Each member made $300,000 from the deal. No?
That's great.
Maybe it
That's
was
great.
A small film crew.
That's awesome.
Is that what you're
Good
wondering?
On them. No, fantastic.
No?
Let's go work for Zendaya. Hey, I've got something up for you next. If you're thinking you're having a bad day, I've got something.
I wasn't until
yours.
I tried that little break at the top and
it's
you gave
me
nothing
as well.
For it.
No, I'll do it next.
I thought it was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Zendaya had 22 people, 22 film crew on a movie. I mean, doing some deep diving because you mocked my
I didn't
fun
mock
little
it, mate.
Stat at the top of the show because you're in a bad mood.
I didn't. I said I'm on top of the world.
You're
That's
not.
How I start.
You got
I'm
real
not
edge
now.
Today.
I'm not now.
Anyway, I thought it was lovely that she gave her crew equity.
Mate, I'm allowed to be confused when you say something.
Yeah, but just there's times to be confused and times to go, oh, that's lovely. Moving on.
That's lovely.
Because it was like
on.
You were having a go at me. I'm not
I
Zendaya.
Wasn't. I was trying to understand how she gave everybody a percentage. I love that people are listening to this show and they're going, I wonder what they do in the songs. They're probably having so much fun. No, they're at each other.
No, we weren't because I was Googling. I was saving.
No, you weren't. You were making our web guy Google. You were sitting back.
I was waiting to get on air to tell you what I found.
You don't even have a laptop in front of you.
I've got my phone.
You would
you
not
know you can
Google.
Get Google in your phone.
Oh, mate. Can you actually?
What are you going to bring now? Better be good.
It's not going to be. What? It's not. What do you mean?
Our producer's saying it's depressing radio.
Just start the break again. Let's pretend again. Jess, get us in.
It's Carrie and Tommy driving you home.
Hang on, I'm not done with that stuff.
Oh, no. What have you got for us, Tommy Little?
I went to park my car this morning and there was a permit spot and there was a spot right next to it where you didn't need a permit. Yep. And I thought, I'm only running inside. I'll be 2 seconds. They're not going to find me. And I came out and they'd find me.
Hold on, so you chose to park in the permit spot when there was a free spot next to it?
I had to run inside and grab something. Like, I don't know how I even got a ticket in that short amount of time.
Right.
But yes. And then I was like, I'm an idiot. I should have just parked on the other
you
side
are.
Of the road.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then I went and parked out in front of my cafe to get a coffee and I thought I'll leave the parking ticket on there because they never fine you twice. They fine me twice.
Yes.
So my day cost me something like $160 before, I don't know, 9 o'clock.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, that's a bad day. And what I do is when I've had a bad day, instead of chirp myself back up, I look up people who have had a worse day than me. And that makes me feel better.
Did you see my face? Having worked with you?
Oh,
me
helping.
And then Zendaya. She's heard your thoughts on her and she's had a shocking
mate,
day.
I was confused.
Who's had a worse day than you today?
Well, what about this woman who she got confused when she dropped her electric toothbrush and what?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be funny. Yeah.
Yeah. She got confused because she dropped her electric toothbrush, but it didn't make a sound. And she's like, how, if I've dropped it off the bathroom bench and it hasn't made a sound, how's that happen? And it's because it's fallen into the toilet brush and that's caught it perfectly in between the bristles of the toilet brush.
The only way that could be bad is if she didn't know that and then used it.
Oh.
only for someone to say, you know, that dropped into the toilet.
You've heard that old thing that they used to do when they would rob houses. You've heard that, haven't they? And then like a week later, a photo would arrive with a burger with a toothbrush up there.
Oh, that's a
bad day.
No, that's not actually true. That's a myth.
That's a thing.
That doesn't happen.
That's a thing. That was the thing. What about
someone knows this way too intimately?
It doesn't make it a thing.
That was a thing. What about this guy who thought he was spraying insecticide on his lawn? Thought he was spraying fertilizer on his lawn and accidentally sprayed weed killer. Have a look at that, Pickers. Right there, pretty good. Good. All the rest of these are visual.
You have to tell people what you can see.
It's just a peroxided pattern all over his lawn where it's burnt his lawn away. What about, spare a thought for the man who's had a workplace accident and lost two of his fingers in a workplace accident. Bad enough. And then he got released from the hospital and got home to find his new guitar had arrived in the post that day.
Oh, that's not.
There he is. Look, he's sitting there. That's him. Pretty bad. It's pretty bad. There was also a
cat. That's cruel.
There was also a guys went to stay at their winter cabin, and they'd realised that it had flooded during summer, but then no one had been there, and in winter the flood had frozen, and so they just have a metre of ice throughout their
over
whole cabin.
Over their toilet?
Yes.
How weird.
That's pretty good. And what you asked is...
you're just Googling.
Yeah. A guy had an argument with his wife because she asked him to measure the door, and he screamed back and said, "All doors are the same size. What are you talking about?" And then the door arrived. And it was an inch too short on the side.
No, he's had a bad life.
Yes.
It all went downhill after
poor,
that.
Poor wife, too. Imagine going,
couldn't even slam
idiot.
The door either.
131060. We're looking for the worst day. Have you had one? Doesn't have to be today. Can be in the past. Give us a call.
We'll take your calls next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore. And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
It's Wednesday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We are asking people if they've had a bad day. Because you had a bad day. I got two parking fines pre-9 a.m.
I feel like it's more of a bad day when something happened that was unexpected or uncalled for. I feel like in your scenario, you kind of just deserve those parking fines.
What about
fines?
The guy who lost two fingers and then had his new guitar arrive in the post that same day?
Day.
Oh, fantastic.
That's not a guy that chose to park in a permit zone and got a fine.
Like what about you agree that with the keep the fine on so you don't get another fine trick, don't you?
Yeah, still. Yeah, I feel sorrier again for the guy with no fingers than I do for you.
Yeah, I'm not saying. Hang on, I'm not saying mine's worse. Ray, do you feel more sorry for the guy with no fingers or me?
Look, the guy with no fingers, surely.
Yeah, yep. I agree. We all agree. Ray, tell us about your bad day.
Last week, I was at work, locked my keys in the boot, had to wait 2 hours for the locksmith to come out, and then on my way home from work, I end up getting a speeding fine on the Monash.
Oh. Because you had a bad day. Bickers, are you... Oh, no, Bickers doesn't think it's a bad day.
No, that is a bad day, but don't speed and you won't get the fine, you know.
Oh, mate.
Still, you've got your fingers, don't you, Ray? You've got your fingers.
Oh, yeah, sort of. I'm missing the end of one.
Oh, are you?
Because don't assume.
Are you really?
Don't assume so much, mate.
I swear, on my life, yeah. Happened when I was doing carpentry work about 6 years ago.
Well, that was a bad day back then.
And Ray, did you chuck it in milk or ice or whatever and try and attach it?
No, we only found like a little bit of skin on the end of it, and that was it. It was decimated. It was
gone. Oh, good on you. Thanks, Ray. Thank you.
That really took a turn.
Eddie, have you got all your fingers?
I do, but my neighbour doesn't.
Oh, what?
This is a different... This should be 131060 if you lost a finger.
He was a bit of a handyman. He was outside sawing a piece of timber with an electric saw. Took off about an inch off his centre middle finger. Picked up the missing piece of finger, stuck it on the windowsill and ran inside to get a tea towel to wrap his finger up.
Oh, no.
Came outside and saw a kookaburra taking off with his finger.
That's a real bad day.
That's a true story.
Kookaburras laugh too, don't they? They're the ones that laugh.
Oh. It's a song, Love, Kookaburra, Love, Kookaburra.
Oh, a handyman. Not as handy as he was. Let's go to Maz. G'day, Maz.
Hi, guys.
Maz, so have you got all your fingers?
I do.
Okay.
So I do acting. So I travelled about an hour and a half on public transport to go to this gig. I did my audition. I thought I did great. It was, you know, some dramatic role. As I'm walking out of this building, I'm sort of walking backwards, thanking the director, and I turned around and I smashed my face into a glass panel and I broke my nose.
That was real commitment, though, to the role, Maz. Didn't they see that?
No, and I didn't get the role, damn it.
Oh, how's your nose now?
I had to have a surgery, so it's all good now.
Oh, you can laugh about it now, can't you?
Oh, Maz, it's so good.
Oh, these callers. You want to go to Mark?
Mark, g'day.
Hey, g'day. How you doing,
Mark? Have you got all your fingers?
Yeah, all my fingers, but I don't have a leg.
Okay. What happened, Mark? What happened?
They cut it off. That's what happened to it.
Hold on.
Why?
Oh, we won't go into that. But okay. Anyway, but my story.
Yes.
I ride a motorbike and I ride quite some distances, and I live in Newcastle, but yeah. I was coming back from the coast and around a certain suburb of last petrol station, and the bike started to play up, started to short out. It was midsummer, around about 11 o'clock in the day. No drink, no food. I'm a type 1 diabetic, just to throw that in. It was just kept breaking down and breaking down. When I finally got a place where I could get some signal, I rang for a guy that actually picks bikes, broken down bikes up in a van type thing.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, not a problem. So he turns up, $450, and says, sorry, mate, you can't come with me because of COVID. You can't sit next to me in the car.
Oh.
So he left me there. So I had to sit just on the side of the road and seeing police cars and other bikers go past and just left me there. And I didn't end up having to get someone to come all the way from Newcastle, probably around two and a half, three hours to get me to take me home.
Oh, Mark. Because you had a
bad day. So you reckon you had a bad day?
Yeah, on you, Mark.
Carrie and Tommy.
You Wednesday Arvo. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hello. I thought you were going to talk, mate.
I thought you were.
Oh, so much still to come on the show. $3,000 is up for grabs.
Yep. Oh, on the I remember time what game I was just gonna after say four.
Yes.
No, the thing we're going to do next I think will interest a lot of people, especially those in the car at the moment that are thinking about proposing.
Oh.
If you're driving around, you think, I think they're the one. Have a listen to this first.
Goodbye.
Carrie and Tommy.
I never knew they were the words.
What?
What's Carrie the first
and Tommy
bit?
If you're Wednesday,
you're horny. Yeah. I thought it was, if you want it, let's do it, right? Yeah. Now I realise pony and horny are meant to rhyme. I've sung that at the top of my lungs so many times.
Hey, we are doing this. G'day, the guys want to know. They'd like to check in. It's Carrie and Tommy's. What do you reckon? Reckon. We are given a question. We mull over it for a bit, such as how many marriages end in divorce. And then our fine producer, Belle, gives us the answer. What is the question that we are mulling over this week, Belle?
Today's question is, what percentage of proposals are rejected?
Ooh. How many people say no? I don't reckon it's much, because I reckon most people would go into a proposal. Wouldn't you go into a proposal feeling confident you were going to get a yes?
The only reason I see flaws in that theory is I've seen people on TV and they say no. So if you think you're confident in day-to-day life, imagine how confident the people must be when they're like, hey, I'll propose on the
live
Ellen
TV,
show.
And then they get a no.
I remember on Ellen, the dude said no, but the crowd were, sorry, the lady said no, but the crowd were already dancing and stuff.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so all they did was keep dancing and went to a break. This woman ran off crying up into the stands.
God.
Yeah, and everyone's like, keep dancing. Nobody stop dancing. And I've seen them at sporting arenas as well when that happens, when the whole, you know, like it's the kiss cam thing and they take it the one step further. And
they propose. So do you think it's higher? I was going to say quite a low percentage, like 5% or something. But maybe it's a lot higher than that.
Sorry, I reckon that's high. I reckon it's like a few percent, like 3%.
Like 2%
three
or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I often do think people misread in relationships, like perhaps you think your relationship's on a trajectory that it's just not.
Yes, yes. Well, everyone thinks breakups come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they don't. For one person, they do.
I mean, they hadn't spoken for a year before.
Yes.
And they're surprised.
And I reckon, too, sometimes people propose as a fixer-upper.
Oh.
They're like, oh, God, I better
fix this. Well, if I just lock it out, it'll make things better.
Yes, yes. If I just trap them forever.
Okay, I'm saying 5%.
Five.
Yep.
Do you know anyone that has had a no?
No. I don't. Do you know anyone that's had a no?
I believe we have a member of this team who has been rejected. Producer Pippa.
She's not there.
We weren't talking about this.
Oh.
Sorry.
Move on quickly from that one.
So
keep dancing,
sorry.
Everybody. Keep dancing. Woo, woo, woo.
Dance and go to the ads.
Okay.
Let's not say her name more.
No.
I'm so sorry, mate. I thought we were talking about that.
How about Belle?
I'm so
Belle,
sorry.
You know of somebody that... Are we allowed to talk about this?
Yeah, no, we can. So I know a girl who said no twice. And then the third
to
the same guy, over a long period of time, like it was, you know, post breakups and stuff. And then, they gave it one final shot and that was when he proposed again and she said yes. And they are so happy. They've been married for years.
Well, they're not. They're just worn down.
Did the proposals get less and
they
less?
They are. Like she's just given up.
Did the proposals like lose their, by the third, was it just, you want to get hitched?
Yeah, it was more of like a commitment chat. Then the whole romantic.
Did he change the ring each time?
I don't know. I've never asked that question.
Yeah, got bigger and bigger to the point where she went, yeah, all right. You've spent a fortune.
The jeweler's like, you're back, mate. Okay.
The other question I have is, if someone gets rejected, are they telling their friends? So say I've got a girlfriend and then she says no and we break up. Am I telling my mates, hey, I actually asked her to marry me.
No,
or am I just saying...
Because she would have told her mates, so it would get back to your mates and then...
But maybe not. Maybe that's one of the conditions where you're like, hey, you've said no to me, but please, as a parting gift, can we ixnay on the you shut me down lay?
Well, I wonder. That's made me think of another thing. How many times after the no do people stay together? How often after a rejection is that the end? Or is that just not for now and then they keep trudging along hoping to make it work?
Belle, what stats have you got on this?
Do you want calls on this? I feel like we want calls from people.
I would love calls on 131060. People who have either said no to a marriage proposal or have been rejected. Yes, that'd be great. What have you got for us, Belle?
The stats on this actually blew me away. So apparently from this study from 6 years ago, nearly one in four women have turned down a proposal. That's 25. That's nearly 25%.
Wow.
I know.
One in four women.
We're a tough crowd.
Wow.
Because they didn't feel like their partner was the one, or that it didn't feel right in general, or they didn't think their partner was necessarily serious about the proposal.
Well,
that's interesting, because if it's late in a night when someone's drunk, you're just like, no, I don't want it done like that. I want it done properly.
Surely that doesn't count.
Well, if that's the didn't think they were serious about it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep.
We've got so many calls
It's a burger ring
through.
That you're proposing.
I think
your
25% is right on the mark. Look at these calls. We will take them next.
Carrie and Tommy.
The Wednesday Arvo, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 131060, have you said no to a proposal or been said no to?
We just found out the stunning fact that one in four women will have said no at some point in their lives to a marriage proposal.
We really are tough. Or are you guys just really missing the mark?
Bad at asking. I don't know. G'day, Michelle.
Hello.
Did you say no or did you get rejected?
I went on 3 dates with a guy and he proposed and obviously I said no.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
The ring and everything. He had a ring and everything.
What? He'd done that to someone else with that ring before, surely, Michelle.
Well, it had a receipt that was new, so I don't know. It's a very sad man.
Are you just... Or Michelle, maybe you're just incredible.
That's what I thought. I was like, these must have been amazing
dates.
We
like to think so, but I don't think so.
Have you been proposed to since, Michelle?
Yes, I have. And that was a yes.
Oh, that was okay.
Tommy was so scared to ask.
My heart was in my mouth.
He was going to ask if you regretted saying no to the first one.
No, I've actually been proposed to four times.
Michelle, you are amazing.
Hang on. So, Michelle, you've been proposed to four times. Have you only said no once?
Yes, but the first time didn't work out. Second time, married 11 years. Third time was a no. Fourth time was... Yeah. Still together, so.
Yeah, but that's great. What I meant is you're just statistically exactly what we're talking about, because 25% of people have said no, and 25% of the times you've been asked, you've said no. Good on you, Michelle. Thank you.
Hi. Laura, have you said no to a proposal before?
I'm actually on an interesting end of it. I'm an events coordinator, and one of the things that we do with my company is actually organise proposals. And I'd say at least 2 out of 10 proposals end with a no.
Ouch. So do you have a plan for the no as well as the yes, or have you only got a yes plan?
You've always got to have a contingency for these kinds of things. Like, you know, you can have the most elaborate, most amazing proposal, and just for one little tiny reason, I've heard one of the girls say, oh, because he chewed loudly. And they were together for like 8 years. And that was her reasoning to say no.
And so how do you mitigate that risk? Are you just like, never slow the gondola down too much, or what?
No, we'd like to sit down and organise, like, with the person that is proposing. Like, you know, we really want to get to know them first and foremost and understand the bond that is between them and their special other. So that's kind of our way of guessing if it's going to be a definite yes or if there is that risk. So we do have a contingency plan, Laura, all the time. But
Laura, even if it's not a definite yes, as if you're not taking their money.
Well, if it does happen, we always say that you're more than welcome to come back at another point and redo it all again. And we don't.
we'll use the doves next time.
This poor cow's so old from being pushed out with a marry me sign on it so many times.
Hey, Steve, have you proposed before and got rejected?
Yeah, so I said no after she come on a little bit strong, and she said marry me and have my babies, and I kind of ran 1,000 kilometres.
Did you? And have you ever popped the question to anyone?
I think I might have when I was.
Steve, you are.
This is explaining why one in four women say no. I think I might have.
Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. And coming up a little bit later on, the time game, guys.
Yes. Plus, we also speak to the person who owns a bottom that has sat on a cushion that has been through the Channel 10 offices for a good, I reckon, 20 years. And I'm going to auction it off.
Well, you sniffed their bottom yesterday.
I did.
Bottom.
No, I sniffed the cushion, not the bottom.
You sniffed their bottom.
No, I sniffed the cushion.
I thought you sniffed the cushion and then sniffed their bottom.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
That'd be weird.
Because I got a little clip to show you. Mm-hmm. Describe to the people what is going on.
It is a little kitty cat.
Yes.
He's on a dining table and they're putting coins on his paws.
Yes, because they've shown the trick.
Of flipping a coin.
Flip it and then
does the cat
put your
do
hand
it?
Over it?
I hope this ends with the cat doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat flipped the coin.
Isn't that
That's
amazing?
Cute.
That's a cat that can do magic.
Heads or tails, was it?
It was heads.
He
and
didn't
it made
call
me
it,
think.
Tommy's cat chat, Tommy's cat chat. There are pussies he'd like to pat. He likes to stroke their whiskers and also feed them biscuits. Now it's time to start Tommy's cat chat.
It's been a while and people have been stopping me in the street and asking, hey, Tommy, bro, when are we going to do cat chat?
Is that
bro?
How the cat people talk?
Yep, someone like this. Oi, Tommy, when are we going to do cat chat? Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they have. Have people not been stopping you in the street?
No.
What have they been doing? What do you mean?
Just going about their lives.
Really?
Yes.
Has anyone been going and yelling at you from car windows and been going, meow, like that? No.
Cat calling.
Yes.
Different thing.
Different thing. Very different thing. What about this kitty cat that did a runner from the vet and they were so worried about where this cat was because a person of 30K from the vet and the cat went missing.
Oh, was it trying to get home?
Guess who walked in the front door?
Who?
Their cat.
Where had it gone?
No, it just left the vet and walked home.
Got all the way home on
30K,
its own.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What's your cat done? Give us a call, 13 10 60 Cat Chat.
We'll do it next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and we're doing this.
Just.
Jesse.
Actually, no.
Tommy's Cat Chat. Tommy's Cat Chat. There are pussies he'd like to pat. He likes to stroke their whiskers and also feed them biscuits. Now it's time to start Tommy's Cat Chat.
Woohoo! G'day, Lil.
Hi, how you going?
Oh, so good. Welcome to Cat Chat. What's happened?
My cat ruined my hen's party.
Why? Why?
So we were all gathered around in my kitchen with champagne and people were saying lovely things about me and my cat walked in and then got diarrhea and scooted her butt across the floor through the kitchen in front of everyone that I know with just a trail of feces behind her.
That's the difference between hens parties and bucks parties, because at a bucks party that cat would fit right in.
That wouldn't stop the party.
No.
Then what happened, Lil?
Well, I had to put everyone outside because she just kept going and then we had to clean it up and we all... very quickly left.
How do you stop a cat with diarrhea?
Imodium. Don't you?
Do
you? Is there cat imodium?
Is there cat imodium?
I have absolutely no idea. She went and ate some grass and she was fine, so.
That's a good tip for us.
Yeah.
Just go eat some grass. Imodium, just eat some grass.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a cat for Cat Chat. Hey, cat.
Hello. So, on Monday... our cat had been missing for like 5 days. Monday morning, went to office work, handed out like 15 pamphlets in the area, did a little letterbox drop, put a missing cat sign on the front door of our house, then did a ritualistic spell where the candle fully, like where you with a mate and had...
We've lost your cat. Hold on, we lost your cat. We lost your cat. We lost you. What happened? What did you do with the spell and the candle?
Okay, and then once the candle burns down fully, the cat's meant to return.
Right.
And then that night, my mate went back to the house about 6 p.m., checked the house, and the cat was there because we're moving house.
What spell are we doing next? That's fun. What else do we want?
It's a cat-finding spell. You got to use a green candle. And
do you ever find it's luring you to places because your name's Cat?
Maybe, and I'm a Leo, and my daughter's a Leo, and so we're all connected.
Tommy's trying to work that out, like lion, cat, big cat.
A Leo.
Yes.
He's a cat.
Like a Leo. Oh. No, a lion, like a cat, big cat.
Ah, good stuff. G'day, Claire.
Hey, how are you?
Confused. How are you?
What are you confused about with that?
I'm confused about the cat finding spell. Sorry, mate. What did you hear about that last caller that you went, oh, yeah, no further questions?
I do cat finding spells all the time.
Do you?
Still yet to find a cat. But
what have you found?
Nothing. Not even nothing.
Nothing. G'day, Claire.
Hello.
Claire, help us. Right the ship, please. Welcome to Cat Chat.
Thank you. So I have a beautiful, big, white, fluffy cat that's supposed to be one of those really lazy cats that doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But we live around the corner from one of the Melbourne unis. So she opens the sliding door with her paw, jumps the fence, walks over to the uni share houses and invites herself in and sleeps on their couch. And then they text me and say, yep, she's good. She's coming home now, and send her home with some dinner.
Wow.
Hold on. How do they know your number, Claire?
Well, she has a tag on her, so that's how I know what she was doing.
Claire, instead of the tag and stuff, have you ever thought about just doing a cat finding spell? Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Wednesday afternoon and 13:10:60 if you'd like to play this.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God.
Today, after 151 contestants, 30 rounds played, and one celebrity endorsement from Amy Shark.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a dumb game.
The time game has reached the astronomical amount of
$3,000.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh my gosh.
Whoever would have thought when we started this, it feels like 17 years ago, that it would get up to $3,000 on the line.
I am going to say something brash.
Uh-oh, right don't now. Swear. Are you going to swear?
No. Oh. If it goes off today, mm-hmm. I will throw in $1,000 extra.
You tight ass. Why not double it?
$4,000.
Why wouldn't you double it, mate?
You can when you want to be brash, but right now.
$1,000 extra went up to $3,000.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
But why?
AJ, okay. AJ, how do you feel about winning $4,000?
Very, very good.
Yes. AJ, tell Tommy that $1,000 is a heap, AJ.
That's a lot.
AJ, I'll chuck in an extra $2,000, so the prize pool is up to $6,000. AJ, you know how to play. Jesse will say start. You just have to say stop on exactly 5 seconds, and the cash is yours, and me and Bickers is a broker. are you ready?
Yes.
Start.
Stop.
Had a little snooze there, did you? AJ.
Oh, AJ.
Felt a bit long. How did it feel?
Well, I thought maybe a bit slow.
Okay. We'll get Jesse's face.
6.27.
Oh, no. Oh, that was a no.
No.
Michael, are you ready to play the time game?
Oh, I'm ready.
Just $3,000 up for grabs today, Michael. $6,000.
Is it? Yes.
It is $6,000, courtesy of Tommy and I. We're throwing in a little bit extra.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, take it away, Jesse.
Start.
Stop.
You know what I've realised, because
that felt pretty good.
That felt real good. You know what I've realised as well? When we put our own money in, I want them to win less. Michael, that felt real good.
It felt very good.
How did it feel for you, Michael?
Felt good.
Saw it out of the hand. Hit it out of the middle. Jesse.
4.86.
So close, Michael.
Okay,
worry.
Good on you though, Michael. Thank you.
Montana, what would you do with $3,000, first of all?
I'm not sure. Maybe go overseas.
Great. And
overseas? What are you talking about, mate?
She'd save up in a bit more, a couple of years, decade, when we can go overseas.
Montana, would you spend the money now or in a decade?
In a decade.
Okay, good. Montana, you know what to do. Just say stop when you think time's up. Jesse, over to you.
Start.
Stop.
I was very undersold. Montana, you're a very cool, calm customer. Jesse, how did Montana go?
4.53.
Ooh, not bad. Thank you for getting involved, Montana.
Danny, $3,000 up for grabs, possibly six if Tommy and I throw in the extra. How are you feeling?
It's been peeled back.
I just don't want to confuse people.
Hey, Danny.
I feel very good.
You should feel good. Danny, is it two? How do you spell your name?
It's two N's and one I.
Oh, my gosh, Danny. That means there's five letters in your name. And you know what that means? It means you're a pretty good shot. And Bickers is about to lose $1,000. Are you ready?
Let's hope so. I'm ready.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
I think maybe just over, Danny.
Oh.
I don't know. Jesse's looking, he's all looking Danny, a bit agitated, Danny, isn't what, he? Like on edge.
Danny, what would you spend something, the money now or in 2 decades? Okay, last call.
Definitely not in 2 decades.
Okay, what would you spend $6,000 on?
Oh, I'd probably go on holidays with my family.
Okay, great. Where are you eyeing off?
Somewhere north to get to get out of the winter, probably in the wet Sundays or
Oh, the wet Sundays. Amazing. Now we're talking. Jesse, are you going to
6.29?
Oh, one more. Nice. I feel like one more because it's gone from $3,000 to $6,000. Mm. We got to give one more. Claire, yep, sure. You're going to be our last caller. Are you ready to play?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. There was $3,000 up for grabs. There's now $6,000. It's a one-time offer, Claire. Are you ready to play?
Is it one time?
I'm ready.
I'm not going to do it every week.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah.
Jesse, you ready?
I'm ready. Start.
Stop.
Ooh. How'd you feel, Claire?
I mean, I'm pretty happy because I get to keep my grand.
It feels like I get to keep $2,000, which Jesse? Is good because, to be honest, I didn't have it.
3.99.
Jackpots next week. Back down to $3,100. Carrie
and Tommy. Across the country for you Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
If you missed it yesterday, I got my hands on some hot property.
Oh, gross. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the cushion.
The cushion of many years of Bootums.
Tommy, I've sat on the same cushion for 11 years at the project desk, and that means heap of celebrity bums have also sat on that cushion. Look here, have a sniff. I reckon this cushion...
Oh, it's smelling it out.
Why are you guys gagging?
Ask me.
It shouldn't be that grossed out by my bum. I clean regularly.
Regularly makes me think you don't.
I'm going to auction off this cushion for charity. It had a bit of the Circle Girls bottoms.
Did it?
Yes.
Okay.
Before the Circle Girls bottoms, it had a bit of Bert Newton's bottom.
The Circle Girls, just so we're clear, is the show The Circle, and it's not some show called The Circle Girls.
A great band name.
Yeah.
The Circle Girls. Anyway, I reckon this cushion is worth a lot.
I don't.
I reckon we should auction it off.
You'll be the highest bidder, you weirdo.
We're going to be speaking to one of those enormous... No, sorry.
You can't use the word enormous. No. Big stars. Can you say big stars?
I was going to say enormous celebrities, but I realised I meant big... Anyway, big stars is the right phrase.
Yes.
Next.
Stars ours.
It's Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Around the country for your drive home, the Savo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And joining us now is the one, the only, Denise Drysdale.
Hello. How are you all?
Oh, showbiz royalty.
Oh, this... really? Who is it? Who's coming on?
Now, Denise, I've been sitting on the same cushion on the project for 11 years and we went to throw it out because it is disgusting. Only then I realised I was missing an opportunity to flog it off because this cushion has had so many famous bottoms on it, including yours. Denise, do you remember said cushion?
What colour is it?
It's maroon. It's a square maroon one.
That's it. Now, this is going to be the perfect cushion for someone who likes secondhand bicycle seats.
So there's one guy out there that we're going to sell this to.
Yeah, and he's going to love it.
Denise, how do you feel about the fact that Carrie decided to sniff said cushion yesterday, knowing that that's had your fine derriere on it for many years?
I think she's a brave woman.
Did you feel the breeze on your backside yesterday at about 3:50 p.m.?
No, I didn't actually. But I tell you what, it's a shame we haven't got the phone books from the Celebrity Squares. Because when Celebrity Squares was on, you're too young to remember it, but there were nine holes and it used to sit up high, medium and low. And I went I had three telephone books, two in the middle and one on the bottom. Now, that would have been worth a fortune. Because they don't even make them anymore.
No. When you think back to your time on the Circle, because I'm trying to work out, you know, the famous people also other than yourself, Denise, who may have sat on said cushion, do you remember the most famous person you had come through the Circle doors?
What's his name? The singer who wrote
Buble.
Keep Your Hat On. Keep Your Hat On. What's his name?
Tom Jones.
Jones.
Is it Tom Jones?
No. No, he wrote it. He's a funny little person.
I can't wait to find out who this is now. So no, what did he sing?
You can Google.
Joe Cocker?
No, he sang it. This man wrote it and he does so many you know, music, composes music for
this
cartoon.
This is going to add value.
Everything.
Oh, this is definitely adding value.
You have instruments.
We've got 17 staff on it. Randy Newman.
There we go.
Add his ass to the list.
He was the most famous because he wrote that song, and you know what it's like.
Do you know Leave Your Hat On? You can leave your hat on. That one?
That's it. He wrote that, and he wrote that when he was 22. And he said he had trouble with the women. I said, I don't think so if you wrote that song.
Well, maybe the women were telling him you can leave your hat on because your hair is gritter.
But he was wonderful. I loved him. He was just one of the best, yeah.
Tommy here said that he actually auditioned to do crowd warm-up for The Circle, but you guys said no.
Mm. Hang on, I wouldn't have said no.
No,
I had nothing to do with it. I just turned up and spoke.
Denise, I'd like it on record. I don't blame you personally at all.
Thank you. The
knuckleheads at Network. I was interested, though, have you had anything? Obviously, people buy famous people's stuff all the time. There's always auctions of Russell Crowe's jockstrap from Gladiator. Have you had anyone buy some Denise Drysdale stuff?
Well, I had that big sale when I left Victoria to come up to Queensland, and I sold everything. I sold the gold record. I sold everything, books. One book that was given to me by Max Walker and had in his inscription in it went on eBay and sold for $50, and the guy bought it for 50 cents.
That's good. That's good.
So, you know, they're
interested. Is that what's going to happen to the cushion?
I think good things will happen to that cushion.
Cushion, yes, good things will
Somebody
happen.
Somebody might frame it.
Frame the cushion.
Well, you know what you should do? You should frame it instead of just the cushion and get the people that have sat on it, get their autographs and put it on.
Denise.
And then...
That's good. Denise, do you think, though, if we do frame it, do you think we need to leave a hole in the glass so they can still sniff it?
Yes.
One last question before we let you go, Denise. Do you remember David and Kim?
David and Kim?
I don't know either.
They were on in the morning, I think, before The Circle started.
Of course I do, yes. David Rain.
David Rain, that's it. Tommy was trying to remember. I couldn't remember. David Rain. You remember David Rain, Tommy?
I don't.
No.
I don't, but I'm keen to find
to
out.
Hook up.
What did you say, Denise? You just cut out for a second.
I said you're keen to hook up.
Yes, I am.
Well, Denise, thank you very much for being a part of Cushion Chat. We'll let you know what it goes for. We might send it to you for your signature, or maybe you can like fart on it or something just to add the value.
All you need to do is send a roll-up white piece of paper. Everybody signs it, round it, and the cushion goes in the middle, and then you frame it.
You've done this before.
Denise, you know how they sometimes put lipstick on and sign a letter with that with a kiss?
All of that?
Yes, you could do that for everyone's ass cheeks. We could dunk you into a little vat of lipstick.
What, are you trying to tell me to put my lipstick on my bum and then sit on this piece of paper?
Yes.
How dare you tell Denise Drysdale to do that, Tommy Little?
I thought we were
How dare
fun.
You? Thanks, Denise.
Thanks, Denise.
All right, all the best, kids. Bye.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So, do you remember the last time we had the super blood moon?
No.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
Remember we had that big moon and Belle came on. And do we have a bit of Belle talking about at Christmas?
So, guys, tonight is a special night because the pink super moon in Scorpio is out in full force. It's going to be pink, apparently. If you have manifestations, you write down on a piece of paper tonight, put the piece of paper underneath a glass of water or a drink bottle out for the moon to see. So somewhere like the sky is, you know, can see the drink bottle. The super moon is going to charge that water, right?
Yep.
And it's going to absorb the manifestations.
Yep.
You drink the water and you literally absorb your own manifestations.
Weird the thing about that is none of those were effects that we added. Belle actually brought some bongo drummers in with her to tell us about the supermoon.
I love how important. The bit where you say, Belle, so the moon can see.
Yeah.
it is the man in the moon up there, just checking out things.
Somewhere like the moon can see, and it's pink. That was.
So super moons are rare enough, but if you're wondering what a super blood moon is, it's the combination of a super moon and a total lunar eclipse at the same time. And apparently we need to be very mindful of our emotions at that time because the world goes a bit crazy.
Do we need to put our emotions somewhere the moon can see?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know, because Belle said there's something different we're meant to do this time.
Oh, yes. We're not drinking our manifestation?
No. What are we doing this time?
This time, so tonight when the super moon is out, I think it's like if it's not cloudy, it should be around 7 p.m. This time.
Hang on. If it's cloudy, it's still out at the same time though, right?
But you can't see it.
Oh, because the moon can't see you. Sorry, that's the whole point. I'm so sorry, Belle.
Yeah. So you write down, this time you're going to write down on a piece of paper what issues you want to release and let go. Okay. Yeah. And then you're going to burn.
Do you mean my pelvic floors or release and let go is what I do?
I thought
with
you
the
wanted
lights.
To hold them. Don't you?
No, you release. No, you.
I thought when you released it was.
Yeah, you contract and let go.
Yeah.
So you're going to loudly verbalise your intention, like I'm banishing all my negative thoughts, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to burn that piece of paper. So if you have a fire pit, great. If you want to just hold it and like sort of burn it a little bit.
Fires all over the place.
Yeah, so it's like a fire element one. Last time was a water element.
Mm. I feel like water was far less dangerous. If you're listening to this, Belle is not an expert in any way, and we're not responsible for any uncontrolled
What do you mean this young lady who said about the pink moon that it's pink, she's not an expert. Belle, what do you mean with the stuff you want to let go?
Mm.
So say if we leave the example of negative thoughts aside, what else? What would I want to let go?
Like say you might have like a grudge against someone or you're like annoyed about something in your life and you just want to let go of that. You write it down and then you burn it so it's gone.
Ooh. But then how can the moon see it if it's gone? Or this one the moon's not watching?
Well, no, the moon is witnessing the removal and the burning of that thing.
Right.
So if you're in a relationship that you don't want to be in, can you write your partner's name down and burn it?
Probs.
It's interesting because apparently when there's super moons like this, super blood moons, it's bad for relationships. And it's particularly bad for the fire signs, Aries, Leo and Sag. I'm a Sag. Not that I've ever cared before.
I'm a Sag. You're a Sag, mate.
Chris might be a Leo.
Oh, you're a Sag. See you, Lee. You're
anyway,
Sag.
Apparently, lots of people break up when there's super blood moons.
So
it
just
makes the world a bit cray-cray.
So are you going to write down something the opposite of that? Are you going to write down, like, don't let me break up and then burn that?
No, mate, I'm not writing down anywhere.
Oh.
Anything.
Why are we talking about it?
Because some people might want to, like last time, weirdos went and put their bottles of water out, you know, each to their own.
Yeah, I actually did that last time.
You did not.
No, of course I didn't. I'm not an idiot.
Carrie Bickmore. And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
That's where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon, and there is still heaps more to come this afternoon.
Sean McCall's Mad as Hell returns tonight for season 13, 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV and ABC iView. Sean McCall joins us now. G'day, Sean.
Tommy, thank you very much. Carrie, Tommy, you sounded surprised. You said 13, like, really? As you were reading it, like the first time that you read 13, this can't be right.
Well, we had just a quick discussion before because I said this must be getting close to being the longest running comedy show that Australia's seen. Really? I can't remember ever saying anything is past season 10 of anything.
I don't think, even like not even Australia, I reckon maybe only MASH. I think went to 15 or 16, and I hope to get to that point at some stage.
Yes. Is Hot Lips Houlihan making any cameos in Mad as Hell?
Well, we have our Hot Lips equivalent of Francis Greenslade, I would say.
Of course.
When you've got such great ever-changing content, like the thing about pollies and politicians is they're always... So there's always...
You just swore. Nah, just because you say it off
I
microphone.
I said it off mic. There's just always something for Sean to talk about.
Did you get nervous because you knew you were going to swear and that's why you said pollies and politicians?
No, there's a subtle distinction, Carrie, between pollies and politicians. You were quite right. I mean, the great thing about it being a topical show and the great thing about being around for 13 seasons is that there's a fresh crop of idiots every 4 years. And you sort of churn your way through them. And it's the same stories each time. They're just classic stories. They're just, exactly the same thing has happened to the Prime Minister, whoever it is, on a four-yearly cycle, if you're lucky.
Sean, what's the best case scenario in terms of news, if for you to come in at the start of a day and do you want to hear there's been an affair? Do you want to hear there's been a leadership spill? Do you want to hear that there's been something? What's the really ripe pickings?
Well, I reckon the affairs and the scandals and that sort of thing, I think, great. Social media will look after that. All the Daily Mail will look after that. News.com.au will look after that. We're looking for the obscure nuggets that people can't do anything with. That's the folder all. That's the fuel for our show. Just kind of and seriously, we'd sit there and go, well, that'll be dealt with on Breakfast Radio. They'll do that. Someone will tweet about that. Let's forget about that. What about this elaborately arcane take on this particular nugget that no one will find? Yeah, let's do that. Just so it lasts until, you know, Wednesday, you know, because usually, like, we've got a blank sheet of paper on the Thursday after the show goes to air. And we need something that's going to hold. And, you know, everything, as you know, everything that happens is perishable. Like, it is really, it's got a two-hour life cycle, and then something, some fresh hell develops at some point.
Sean, we'd love for you to stick around. Carrie was asking the producers to Google a couple of awkward things about you before, and I really want to hear her ask about those things.
We'll get Carrie's awkward questions up next for Sean McAuliffe. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little around the country this afternoon, and we are still joined by Sean McAuliffe.
I'm so surprised, because when I was reading up more about you, because I was thinking, I thought I knew everything there was to know about you, because I've interviewed you so many times, I've seen you on TV. I actually didn't know the most obvious thing, that you spent 10 years working in insurance law before you became a comedian, but I love the line that your wife insisted you try it or never talk about it again when it came to comedy. Does she still wear the pants?
Let me think now. Yeah, I guess we both wear the pants. We kind of share.
That's what someone says.
Our body is down. Well, I'm down one leg and she's down the other, and we jump together in the same direction.
Oh, that's just too nice.
But it's also just not true. The person who actually wears the pants doesn't give up half their pants.
What?
That's a man. You mean with no pants on, pretending he's warm?
You mean I've been fooled all these years and it's just been drawn on in pen on my legs?
Well, we were just saying before you walked in, I asked the producers to Google whether you were still married, because I didn't want to ask you about that in case you weren't married anymore, and then you happen to walk in as we're talking about that. What's the most awkward thing anyone's ever asked you in an interview before?
Well, I have been occasionally, and it's happened more than once, but only about like every 6 years. They say, is it true you were once Humphrey B. Bear? They say, with a slightly accusatory tone. I keep thinking, well... Well, the answer is yes. I did. I was Humphrey B. Bear many years ago. And mind you haven't asked me that question. Do you want to know the answer?
I'm fascinated. Yes. I was actually thinking I did not know that.
Well, there you go. You put that on your list. That should be top of my CV, I think. And they say, what's the most memorable thing about being Humphrey? Because I was Humphrey in like a kid's show, like a pantomime. And the guy being Humphrey, he got a bit tired. He had to go off and get rehydrated. So I'd come on for a scene or two every now and again. And he was like 5'4" and I was like, I don't know, 13 years old, but I was 6'2". And I had a really mangy version of the Humphrey costume that I'd put on. And so he'd leave, and then suddenly a much taller, scrawnier version of Humphrey would come on. And the takeaway is that I got pyrrhea as a result of wearing that old mangy head.
What's pyrrhea?
Well, it's a kind of bunch of mouth ulcers, and my teeth almost fell out.
I buried the lead here, haven't I?
Clearly.
Yeah. Is it a disease of the mouth?
It is a contagious thing or something? I don't know how. Well, I guess it's pretty contagious.
Is that how you got it, though, from someone else leaving it in the head of the Humphrey?
It was in the head. It was like, you know, these days, of course, you know, with all the, you know, masks and everything we wear, no one would wear Humphrey's head if it was been clean and sterilized.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, of course.
But obviously somebody in 1953 had pretty poor oral hygiene, and I inherited it.
Disgusting.
It's awful.
But it's also a good job for someone with pyrrhea. Yes. Because at least then you're hidden behind.
It's a perfect job.
Humphrey.
It's a perfect job. Although when I was on stage in the Humphrey costume, because you operate the mouth with your chin, you make the mouth go up and down, and that makes that's how it works. But I wear glasses, so when the light used to catch my glasses when Humphrey's mouth was open, there'd be this shaft of light that would come out of Humphrey's mouth, so he looked a bit like Mothra or Godzilla or something, you know, destroying a city.
Frightening the children. Yeah. Did the children notice that you weren't, because kids are very, very aware of things like that. Did they go, why are you taller, or yell out to you?
Most of the kids that came to see the show were stupid and didn't had no idea. So they didn't know. They just thought, oh, wow, he's really exciting. Now he's much taller and he can shoot ray beams out of his mouth.
Did any of them yell, have you got pyrrhea?
That's the front row stuff.
Well, Sean McCullough's Mad as Hell returns tonight at 8:30 on ABC TV and ABC iView for its 13th season. Congratulations, good luck, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, it's 8:32. Don't tune in at 8:30 because you'll see the end of Tom Gleason's program.
Oh, sure. I don't want that.
No, thank you.
I mean, I've got a vested interest in that. Definitely tune in at 8:30.
Sorry, do. No,
do.
I'm
it's the best. It continues to pay for my house.
It's the best part of the show the last 2 minutes.
Carrie Bickmore. And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.